The Guardian.
Hey, it's Lee Alexander, and before you get started with this episode of Chips with Everything, we wanted to point you in the direction of our sponsor, Squarespace. For everything you need to set your website apart, head to squarespace.com/guardian to get 10% off your first purchase. And now here's the show.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life. That there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is?
So, you know Elon Musk, the Elon Musk who founded the self-driving car company Tesla and the aerospace transport service company SpaceX? He's widely regarded to be one of the most intelligent, forward-thinking individuals alive on our planet today. And a few months ago, at a tech conference in California, a member of the audience got up and asked Elon this question.
There's a sort of a philosophic concept that a sufficiently advanced civilization will be able to create
A simulation,
yeah. Maybe you've answered this before? Have you thought about this? And
a lot.
Are we...
To which Elon replied...
I've had so many simulation discussions, it's crazy.
Okay. So, because...
In fact, it got to the point where basically every conversation was the AI slash simulation conversation. And my brother and I finally agreed that we would ban such conversations if we were ever in a hot tub. So given that we're clearly on a trajectory to have games that are indistinguishable from reality, it would seem to follow that the odds that we're in base reality is one in billions.
And that premise, the notion that there's a chance, a very high chance according to Elon Musk, that premise has been discussed by philosophers and scientists alike for years now. It's a question that calls everything that we know and love, everything in our past, our present, and our future, everything that has been or will ever be, it calls all of that into question.
After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
So on today's show, we're exploring a simple question that has the technology, science, and philosophy communities around the world contemplating their very existences. That question, are we living in a computer simulation? To dig into the topic, we're lucky enough to have a seasoned expert on the topic on hand today, philosopher and cognitive scientist, Dr. David Chalmers.
I'm a professor of philosophy at New York University and the Australian National University. And I think a lot about the philosophy of the mind and the brain, and consciousness perhaps is what I've worked on the most. But lately I've been thinking a lot about philosophical issues about technology. You know, artificial intelligence is ramping up very fast. So is virtual reality. And all these technologies raise any number of philosophical issues for us to think about and thinking about the relationship between the mind and the world.
As David will explain in some detail, the basic premise of this theory is that looking back at the past couple of decades of technological enhancements and developments, tech has evolved at an incredibly rapid pace. The example that Elon Musk frequents is us playing the Pong video game in the early 70s with just a ball and a couple of paddles. And now, a mere 45 years later, we've developed hyper-realistic technologies like VR and AR, and by that standard of technological advancement, it would be naive to ignore the idea that an advanced civilization not dissimilar to our own could potentially construct a computer simulation, and maybe, just maybe, we are living in a constructed simulation at this very moment. Here's David.
So when you think about virtual reality and computer simulations, you know, the technology is getting more and more impressive. We're building simulations. First up is SimCity, then there's SimLife, there's SimEarth. You just know at some point there's going to be SimUniverse, we're going to be able to simulate whole universes on our desktop or even on our smartphone. And then this just begins to raise the hypothesis, how do we know that we ourselves are not in a simulation like that? That's the so-called simulation hypothesis, that we are inhabiting a simulated universe that's running on someone else's computer or someone else's smartphone in the next universe up. After all, every simulated universe will contain many simulated beings who may experience their universe just as we experience ours as an unsimulated universe in a virtual reality that's indistinguishable from a normal reality. So it seems there may be no way to tell the difference. And then the simulation hypothesis is maybe that's what's happening to us. Many civilizations will develop the technology to create simulated universes of one kind or another. Then Nick Bostrom has put all this together into an argument that he calls the simulation argument.
Nick Bostrom is regarded as pretty much the so-called father figure of the computer simulation hypothesis. He's a Swedish philosopher who also teaches at Oxford University.
And it basically runs like this. If enough civilizations produce simulated universes, then most beings are going to be simulated beings. Only a small fraction of all the beings in the universe will be non-simulated, because it's going to be so easy to create simulated universes and simulated beings. And then once you have the claim that most beings, say 99% of all the beings in the universe, are simulated, then you've got to say, what are the odds that we are one of the lucky ones at level zero, unsimulated? 99% of the beings are simulated. We should give a 99% probability to ourselves being simulated. And that's the so-called simulation argument, which is meant to make us take really seriously the idea that we ourselves may be in a simulated universe.
Now, how can we actually determine whether we're part of the 99% of beings that are simulated or actually part of the 1% that are real and unsimulated? By nature of the theory, David says that as it stands, it's virtually impossible to make that determination.
It's very difficult to get evidence about this, because if it's a really good simulation, it's going to be designed so it's indistinguishable from the inside from the universe it's simulating. So if it's a perfect simulation, there may be no way ever to know for sure. I mean, we might say there'd be some experiment we could perform to give proof that we're not simulated. But then you just realize, boy, in a good enough simulation, that experiment could be perfectly simulated. The beings could think they've got the proof. They'd still be in a simulation. Maybe if our simulators were cooperative, they could give us pretty decisive evidence that we are in a simulation. Maybe they could suddenly start breaking the laws of physics and, you know, turning the Empire State Building upside down and making it float in the sky and writing the words in the clouds. Sorry, guys, you're in a simulation. That might be kind of convincing. I mean, who knows what the simulators are interested in? Maybe they've done this trying to explore the possibility that we will create simulations ourselves, but maybe they don't care about any of that. Maybe they just set up the universe at the beginning. They set up the laws of physics and they just let it run to see what happens. And this is what happened. Maybe they even set up computer power is so good. Maybe they set up a million different simulated universes overnight as an experiment. They're just letting it run all night and they're going to come back in the morning to gather the statistics. From that point of view, we're just going to be one of the statistics. They may not have any particularly, you know, interesting motives at all.
More with Dr. David Chalmers when we come back.
Hey, this is Jason Phipps here, head of audio here at The Guardian. This episode of Chips with Everything that you are enjoying, no doubt, is sponsored by Squarespace. To find out more about how to set your website apart, head to squarespace.com/guardian.
If you're looking for a podcast to listen to during the holidays, I'd love to recommend a show produced by our Australian team that was actually just named one of the top podcasts of the year by iTunes. It's called Behind the Lines, and it offers a behind-the-scenes look at The Guardian's newsroom in Australia. Here's a taste of this week's episode.
Sad to say that I can't say I was in disbelief because this happens all the time. But that being said, it was unbelievable, and it was very disturbing to see not just the pain and hear the agony, but to see the level of misconduct and the level of I don't want to help this girl.
That's Behind the Lines from The Guardian. Search for it on iTunes or whatever podcasting app you use on your phone. We're here with Dr. David Chalmers, and so far we've talked about what exactly the computer simulation theory is, but how about the philosophical perspective?
You know, coming from the philosophy side of things, are there any philosophical ideas or premises that sort of this theory aligns with or maybe runs contrary to that you'd be able to point to?
Well, it goes along with a classic idea put forward by the philosopher René Descartes close to 400 years ago, when he said maybe we're being fooled by an evil demon into thinking that there's a world out there of physical objects and things, where somehow that demon is just feeding images into our mind, and none of this really exists. And Descartes used this to question how much we know about the external world. Many people see the simulation hypothesis as a modern version of that, that you know, if we're living in a simulation, everything we're experiencing is an illusion, and none of it really exists. So that's become a popular idea in modern philosophy. I actually think there may be something wrong. That idea is very natural, but it's not quite right. My own view is even if we are in a simulation, it's still the case that all the stuff we're experiencing, the tables and chairs and the people out there, they're still perfectly real. They're just made of something like computer processes or information. So if we're in a computer simulation, we shouldn't say none of this really exists. We should say it exists, but it's made of information, and that may be the world we're in.
Now, the philosopher Nick Bostrom, who you mentioned before, who sort of devised this theory, or at least honed this theory in the early 2000s, the theory of the computer simulation, what was going on around, you know, 2003 when he came up with it that really helped him spawn these ideas and shape them into the computer simulation theory that we know today? Was it a cultural event, or was it developments in technology? What was going on that really led to this development?
One of the sources is the development of virtual reality technology, which has, you know, been around for quite a while, but really started getting going in the 80s and 90s, and people would go into a virtual reality headset that would be indistinguishable from a normal universe. That starts to make some of these ideas suddenly seem much more realistic. Also, of course, is the presence of these ideas in a lot of science fiction and science fiction movies around that time. The classic is the movie The Matrix. It's a wonderful illustration of these ideas. Actually, it was around that time that shortly after the movie came out, I got an invitation from the production team behind the movie, The Matrix. They wanted some philosophers to write about philosophical issues raised by the movie. So I wrote an article myself called The Matrix as Metaphysics that was exploring this idea of the universe as a simulation. So at least in my case, there was a bit of impetus coming from the whole science fiction and movie realm. So maybe it's a combination of the technology, interest in the popular media, all those things coming together.
Finally, from an existential point of view, if we are in a simulated universe, the question has to be asked, does anything actually matter? If the world around us is constructed by an outside entity, then what's the point?
Or I think that even if we are in a simulated universe, it still matters. You know, life still matters. We're still conscious. We still have meaningful experiences with other people. We still have meaningful projects. I mean, there's a general philosophical question you can ask. Does anything matter? Why does life matter? Even in a physical, non-simulated universe, you might say, all this is a bunch of particles in an obscure solar system in one corner of an obscure galaxy. Why does any of this matter? But still, we find meaning in our lives. I don't see why being in a computer universe is that much worse than being in a solar system in an obscure corner of the galaxy. I'd say either way, life is what you make of your situation. If this is the situation we're in, we try to do what we can with it.
I couldn't get a truly definitive answer out of Dr. Chalmers about whether or not he himself believes that we're living in a computer simulation, or whether he aligns with Elon Musk's or Nick Bostrom's opinions, but I myself definitely agree with his sentiment about how, in the grand scheme of things, whether or not we're living in a computer simulation is irrelevant, and it's up to us as simulated or unsimulated humans to create meaning and value in our everyday lives. And if that isn't a great message to finish off with before the holidays, I'm not sure I know what is. That's all for this week's episode. Again, a big thanks to Dr. David Chalmers for coming on this week. If you liked the show, you can subscribe on iTunes or whatever podcasting app you use on your phone. Just search for Chips with Everything. I'm on Twitter as Matt Shore, at MattShore, and I'll be back with you one last time next week before we head into the new year. We'll see you then.
The Guardian has always been a community of readers, journalists, and contributors. And now our live events are bringing these people together.
The Guardian events are The Guardian at its best, which is a two-way conversation involving the reader and having a real, genuine, thriving debate.
Could be anything from food and culture, arts, to politics, to foreign affairs.
To see what events are coming up and to check out the benefits of membership, go to members.theguardian.com. Also, subscribe to the Guardian Live podcast. You can do so on iTunes, SoundCloud, and other reputable audio platforms.